Hey guys, you like making great money, right?
Right.
So here's a really cool opportunity that Jeff and I had to share with you, driving with Uber.
Yes, Uber is that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. You know, I take Uber a bunch. I love them. And in chatting with the different drivers, some of them have really interesting stories as to why they drive with Uber.
I have an interesting story.
About driving with Uber?
About driving with Uber. The first time we used Uber was in California, and it was super easy to do. We put the credit card down. I took a picture with my iPhone of the credit card. It was super easy to sign up. And then I asked for an Uber. And guess what?
What?
It showed me that the Uber was on its way. I was watching it on my phone, and it was just nuts. And so Jeff was, I think you were in the bathroom or something like that, and I was like, Jeff! The Uber is on the way.
And I was like, chill.
And I'm like, Jeff, the Uber is like 2 minutes away.
And I was like, all right, like I'll see you then.
And so I go outside to wait for the Uber driver, and I look down and I see his face on my screen, and I was like, all right. And I look up and he's making the same exact face looking out of the window, this big smile. I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Very welcoming.
5 stars for that guy.
Let me tell you something about Uber drivers.
Go ahead.
They love being their own boss. They earn great money. It's easy to start. You just need a car and a license.
Okay.
Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility.
Okay.
And, you know, parents is a really easy way to work around a family schedule.
And students?
Students, they can make some extra money between classes.
All right. Now is the prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You will thank us for telling us how you get paid every week.
Right. So, you know, if you got a car and a license, put them both to work for you and start earning serious life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That is drivewithuber.com.
Drivewithuber.com. We have a really interesting episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real today. Obviously, Jeff, everyone has been talking about one thing and one thing only. That is
the beef with Meek Mill and Drake, yeah.
So we had to get our friend Corey Townsend here,
who is from Philadelphia but is very conflicted about the whole thing.
So we'll have him talk first, and then we want to get into Bridget Kelly's story.
Yeah, Bridget Kelly, who has an album coming out.
She does. She was the first Roc Nation signee. She now has this project called Summer of 17, dropping today. It's an awesome story. She's a lot of fun, and enjoy the episode.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. 3.14 times 10, a.k.a. Flippin' Pies.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Sammy Davis Jr., a.k.a. Son of Sam.
Hey, how you guys doing? My name's Corey Townsend.
Yeah, and this is A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Now,
okay.
Corey, you sent off the alarm last night.
You said if anybody wants to podcast with you to talk about the Meek Mill and Drake situation, because yes, you are a Philly native.
I am, born and raised.
And we answered the call, and you're here on the Upper West Side with us.
I am on the Upper West Side. This is maybe the first time since I moved to New York that I've been on the Upper West Side. So,
well, welcome. I mean, like, we wanted to find like a neutral area that was safe.
That's right. It's not Toronto. It's not Philly.
Meek is one of those artists that I could say I've kind of watched grow. You know, I've watched him grow up from when he was a kid rapping on the sidewalk with the braids and stuff like that to who he is now.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Philadelphia hip hop, it is a very, very hard market to come out of like that, just because of, I mean, and you know, I'll be honest, it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds that come from our artists. You know, we're hard-headed, we can't stay out of jail, you know, we have a crab in a barrel mentality, so on and so forth. So to kind of see him come from that is amazing.
Yeah.
I say that to say, if there's anybody who thought there would have been something, some sort of clap from Meek, it was probably me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like you said, you know, the game sees like, oh, he came from this battle thing. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it live. I've seen him battle people live. And I've known what, like, essentially where he came from. So I'm like, okay, this is a statement that he's made. He's made these allegations against this man, you know. Obviously, Drake being the theatrical guy he is, you know, the showman that he is, he's going to come back with something, and Meek is going to lay it down.
Yeah.
And when Charged Up came out, I didn't listen to OVO Radio that day.
Wow, wow, Philly beef.
No. I was, ironically enough, I was back home. I was back in Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
I was back in Philly, and I was at a cookout, and my roommate Chris and a couple of our friends, they came to cook out later, and you know, they told me, they was like, yo, Drake dropped something, dog. And I was like, is it hot? And they were just like, man, I don't even want to talk about it. And I was just like, no, we can't do that. So, it was funny enough, one of my good friends, he recently just purchased a Jeep, and he took like the doors off the Jeep. So like we're driving from one cookout to another with the doors off.
Very Zoolander. With,
no, hold on, wait. Yeah. Just
let's Barry Zoolander. Oh no, 2015 yeah. Zoolander style.
But also, I mean, let's just acknowledge your father is DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yes.
this sounds like it's straight out of Summertime. It, riding around in your Jeep.
Ironically enough, we were at Belmont Plateau where Summertime happened. I swear to God. Wow, that's funny. I never put that shit there. Yeah. but yeah, man. So like, you know, we're riding, you know, tops you're down
in Philly,
riding up 76. From Belmont Plateau, which is in West Philly, to, you know, to the uptown northern part of the city, and we're listening to Charged Up. Mm. And I lie to you not, we played Charged Up maybe about six times back to back. And we're just like, I mean, if not for nothing else, to hear, because, you know, Drake isn't a responder, you know, and a key part of this is that while Meek didn't say anything via song, he tweeted a lot. The first thing I thought is, okay, it started. Mm. This is officially started because he said something and, you know, things like that. And then I was like, I see Drake having a lot more. Mm-hmm. So that's the second thing. And third, I thought of timing. The first thing I thought of was timing.
Yeah.
The timing for this, for Meek, was extremely poor. I look at it as with all the outlets and venues that Drake has, OVO Radio, OVO Fest.
Yep.
Like, you know, he's one of those artists that if he puts something out, people are going to check it no matter what.
Where's management? There's a lot of people who should have said to Meek, let's calm down, let's focus, let's put you in a studio. Then even when he was on the road, he was like, I'm 5 hours from a studio.
Yeah.
So you're getting people into this mindset where you're definitely going to come with a big record.
It's almost like when, remember that woman who was on a flight to South Africa?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you're just waiting for that woman to land so you can be like,
the PR woman.
We got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, we got her.
Like 5 hours later, that doesn't happen.
So we all go out to support our friend Kaz, who runs thestash.com.
Their second
anniversary celebration down at House, which used to be the Canal Room. And
which was fire, by the way.
Yo, everyone was there. It's about like 8 o'clock, and the place felt like it was like midnight, 1 o'clock, and it was just... The DJs were killing it. The crowd was great. There was a lot of Avion being passed around. Great atmosphere. And let me just say, because I saw you.
Yes.
I feel like you walked in and they played.
I did.
They played.
Ironically enough.
Back to back.
I don't think it was ironic. I think it was like a straight up. Just
I don't know
like,
who was DJing. It may have been either Austin. I don't think Mecca did.
Shout out to
Austin.
Name names, yeah.
Shout out to Austin Mills. I think he may have done that. But yeah.
Yo, but this back to back record.
I see Austin Mills.
Back to back, when I heard it on SoundCloud, sounded all right. I was like, he got some shots in there. It sounds okay.
But live.
But when they played it in the club and they turned it around and played it back to back.
Mean.
Nasty.
And yeah, ironically enough, I came into the stash party a little bit late. I walked in, just like you said, it may have been about maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah. It felt like it was 1 a.m. on a Friday.
Yep.
And as soon as I walked in, I just heard, you know, Twitter fingers, turn Twitter fingers. And I'm just like, this is not happening right now. And it seemed like the entire right side of the club with all of my friends are just looked at me and laughed. It was bad. Yo, I got a couple shots after that.
So 9:30 at night, people knew every single word to it.
Yeah,
because it's a club record.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it sounded great.
I think that's genius. I think and that kind of showed, if you weren't paying attention to it, that kind of showed the tactical ability of Drake when it comes to, like, this battle shit, because essentially, he made a diss track on a record that can be played in the club at any time.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. You know, I think Joe Budden said it, where he was like, yo, Drake made a song that girls can, like, dance to. And then when I thought about that shit, I'm like, yo, that means I'm going to hear this shit in the club for the rest of the fucking summer.
No,
and I'm like, this is some
life.
Bullshit. And it's just like, you know, I mean, it's a good song, man. Like, I'm like, and I've said this before, like, I like Meek, obviously. Yeah. You know, I like Drake.
Yeah.
Drake is, you know, one of my favorite rappers right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also like battling. And this is just.
So he says, is it your girls tour?
Or no, is it your world tour or your girls tour?
He was stinging, man.
And he said that knowing that he was going to perform back to back multiple times at his own festival in Toronto.
Absolutely.
And this takes us to last night.
Yes. Well, this takes us to the other night when Meek put out his
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Everybody forgot about Meek's response.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. That was the same night.
We played it at the stash party. I remember a friend of mine from a particular music entity came to me, you know, in the party and said, Meek came out with some new shit. Mm. And I said, is it hot? And all they said was, we got reference tracks. We got people talking shit on it. And I remember running around the club in full Philadelphia glory, just like, yeah, it's time. It's time for that shit now. And the high I felt at that moment.
Yeah.
To see my timeline. Like, I remember one of my good friends who's a DJ. He texts me around that time, I guess when Flex dropped it or when whoever dropped it, and he just texted me, oh my God. I'm like, and I'm texting back like, dog, I'm in the club. Is it crazy? He's like, dog, it's coming out right now. And then not even 20 minutes later, he was like, bro, that shit was horrible. And I'm like, yo, you just went from oh my God to it's horrible. He was like, I know, because I didn't hear it yet. He's like, this shit is bad, yo. And I'm just like, it's really that bad? And the timeline was just like, are you serious? What is this shit? And then I heard it myself, and I was just yeah.
They ate him alive.
It wasn't, man.
But the thing is that now, because Drake puts out, he does his concert, and he like goes in on Meek with all the memes rotating in the background of his stage show. And now, at least, Meek is going to hate Drake. Like, Meek is going to hate him so much. Yeah. And so, really, Drake has saved Meek from, like, a really embarrassing, like, loss.
Why?
Because now he's going to come back with something good.
Well, no, but that's...
I don't think that he hated Drake in the beginning. But now I think he does.
I can see that. And then you had last night. And I remember saying, I was like, listen, Meek could have came out with something that was Ether-esque. It could have been Takeover-esque. It could have been whatever. It could have been the greatest diss in history. But essentially Drake had the last possession to end of the game.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, he could have done whatever. He had whatever he wanted to do. On his home court in front of everyone. He knows that Drake knew that everybody was going to be watching with bated breath, just like, yo, what is Drake going to do? Is he going to really ether his career? And then, like, all the stuff started coming out yesterday with, like, the free Meek Mill t-shirts.
Yep.
And you know,
he was saying
theorists.
He was going to end his
He's
career.
He's like, yo, I'm going to end it. Like, conspiracy theorists. Oh, it's a 5-minute track with production from, you know, 40, Boy Wonder, and Jesus.
Right.
And, like, Kanye has a feature. You know, all this shit. But it was one of the things. It was like WWF. It was like wrestling back in, like, the early 90s.
But I think the worst might be that Kanye, Will Smith, Meek, all laughing.
Drake,
all laughing at Meek.
Right,
backstage.
There's a video of them laughing at these memes. And by the way,
well, you don't know what. I'm gonna cape because this is one of the ones where I'm gonna forego for a split second my city and go family.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know what they were laughing at. Fair. You saw them looking at a phone. They could have been looking at a picture
and laughing about a picture.
He does say that's a meme, but my thing is, no one would say something is a meme if it's a meme already.
By the way, it is funny that Drake, who is the biggest meme, has teamed up with his brothers and sisters and all the other memes.
The meme brothers.
Yeah. Setting Philly aside.
Absolutely.
Do you have, maybe not a favorite, but like respect for a certain meme? Is there something that like made you laugh out loud?
Or cry.
Because my favorite...
I'm all about internet humor, man.
Yeah.
If anybody knows me, my meme and gift collection is strong.
Talk about it.
I will say the picture of Meek and Rice was an instant classic.
Yeah.
That shit was funny.
I saw someone say on Twitter that you can't spell Meek Mill without two L's.
That was a good one. I saw a particular tweet where a guy was talking about the situation, and like at the end of the tweet, he's like, "Yeah, if you think this tweet looks weird, that's because Meek took all of the L's earlier in the week."
Yeah.
Like, you know, I do think that this entire thing has put, I think it's put, you know, Nicki into a rough spot.
Yeah, yeah.
That
just seems like the roughest spot.
You know, it's kind of just like, music aside, you know, no man wants to seem like he lost anything to his woman.
Right.
You know, so kind of like, especially a woman that does the same thing as essentially the two guys do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think it puts her in a rough spot. Do I think Meek can actually bounce back in this? I think he can.
Just put out good music.
Especially with what Drake did last night. You know, like using all the memes and stuff like that, which I think is genius.
I think it is too.
I haven't seen an artist in this current era use social media. And essentially, I do kind of find it ironic, you know, shout out to my good friends out there. I saw a tweet last night that said, you know, the complete irony of Drake using other people's material to bury Meek. And I'm just like, that's...
Like the Quentin Miller thing.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, well, he hasn't even, like, addressed the ghostwriting stuff, really.
Not at all. I mean, but I don't think he has to. I don't think you have to.
Because you know why? We're living in this era now where Rick Ross... for the longest time didn't even acknowledge the fact that yes, there were photographs and there was
written
evidence, the fact that he was a corrections officer, and then he just like acted like people weren't even talking, right? And his career blew the hell up.
Absolutely.
So you can, and by the way, Meek is underneath him. So you talk about authenticity, it's a difficult position to play. But and by the way, I love Rick Ross. I love like the personality. I love the music. Like, I'm a fan. So it is what it is. In terms of Drake, though, maybe he doesn't even have to acknowledge it. How about this? What happens if... So Drake has taken his talents down to Houston for Houston Appreciation Weekend a couple years in a row.
Oh, no.
I see what you're doing here.
I'm just curious. What if he got some permits?
I wanted to do something in Philly?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Would the people come out?
I think they would, and I think they would for a couple different reasons. I think they would to see what he would do. Mm-hmm. I think they would because people genuinely like Drake. Mm-hmm. I think you would have that crowd that would, and that are very pro Meek Mill and would like try to do something to mess all that up. And I really don't think Philly is a city where you would want to go to like start shit, because you know my city is a very unique city, mm-hmm. and has a very unique history in how we handle things. So, you know, I hope Drake wouldn't do that. But, you know, I think the people...
But if it does happen, how many people are you bringing?
Shit.
How many people can fit in the Jeep?
Yeah. How many people can fit in the Jeep? Meek is actually performing at Made in America. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, there may be another Last Possession. I mean, it definitely all definitely goes...
That's a month away.
Well, it is a month away.
That's good, because it gives him time to write a record.
Jesus.
To get to a studio.
I mean, what I think is this. I think that, because a question you asked me earlier is, could Meek come back?
Yeah.
I think that if Meek dropped songs with bars, just straight, uncensored, unadulterated bars... No gimmicks, no reference tracks. Like at this point, we know what we quote unquote know.
Yep.
Mm. You know, bump it. At this point, he's taking it past. He hasn't cited anything with that with you. He said things about you specifically.
He needs like specifics.
We need specifics.
Yeah.
We don't need hearsay off past events. We don't need hearsay off of what happened at such and such a thing years ago. Right. How he didn't forget. No, we need shit now.
Right.
If he does that, and if he like really sets that stage to Made in America, because I mean, OVO Fest is huge. OVO Fest is definitely huge now, you know. I would say it in our two countries, especially in Canada, you know, but I think Made in America is as equal, maybe in some sense, maybe a bigger stage than OVO Fest. Yeah. Okay, we're doing 7-game series. I'll say he's down 2-0.
He's taking some punches.
It's a 5-game series.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
If we do 5-game series, I would say he's down 2.
Okay.
I'll say 2.5 after last night, because I think it could have been a lot worse. Like, and I said that, I was like, yo, listen, if it stops at the memes, because, you know, essentially, I think because he did it at the beginning of the show,
right?
You know, people only, I won't say they forgot about it, but it was kind of like by the time Kanye and Future and Travis Scott and all those guys went on, and Pharrell and them, I won't say if people forgot. It was definitely a lot of blowback on social media, kind of like damn, like this really happened. But I mean, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Well, let's just say Drake hinted maybe he's got some stuff.
Oh, there's a third.
In his third song,
yes.
What'd he say? Fuck a chaser. When we're taking shots. It's quite a lot. I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
Corey Towns. Thank you guys for having me.
See ya. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Movie Below, a.k.a. Hurricane Irene. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Bang Hammers, a.k.a. Bob Vila.
Oh, I'm Bridget Campbell. I didn't have a... Was it ready? ready for that. Nobody prepped me for that. I would have had a rap name.
And this is a waste of time, but this is the real. Bow, 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 blah, 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 blah. Welcome to the Upper West Side.
I feel so unprepared. That was not fair.
No, okay.
You said you don't do research.
Yeah, you don't do any research.
I purposely did not.
You know,
shit,
you know what?
I feel like I needed to do that.
You know what? You know what the greatest one was? So we used to work for MTV doing, like, absurdist interviews that would start off like that. We've interviewed everyone from Questlove to Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Right.
To
we didn't Fab. We didn't do the gunshots for Stevie Wonder.
No,
that would have been
not.
A little bit off-putting.
Yeah, I think
we,
so, too.
Dwayne Wade and Dwight Howard and... Right. Sarah Bareilles and like Alice Cooper and everyone, right? And you would think that at a certain point people would either know or take it well or something, and because it was always meant to surprise people. You know who had the best, who knew what was up, was Feist.
Yeah, Feist.
Really?
The singer Feist, yeah. Had AKAs
and everything.
You know
what? I believe that, though. I believe that.
We didn't.
I believe that.
Yo,
she's kind of dope.
She was really dope.
She was awesome.
It's always the quiet ones.
It is.
You never
always
suspect
the quiet ones. All right, so you said you did no research on us. You just wanted to come in, like,
completely
eyes open and...
just eyes and ears open and ready to go.
Okay. Well...
There's tea, there's cookies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This was the warmest welcome I've gotten in a long time, honestly. I didn't even have a rider for this. This is really impressive.
What is on your rider?
Tequila, usually. Tequila and wine. Tequila and red wine are usually the first items on my rider.
Because, as you said to us before we started recording,
tequila makes you happy.
Tequila makes you happy.
Tequila makes me really happy. It makes me feel like it's, you know, I'm a little bag of wonderful. It's a party. Wherever I'm at with tequila, it's a turn up every time. Wine just kind of, though, calms the nerves before my show, so I like to drink a glass of wine as well as take
a bottle
of
wine. Just like just take it to the head.
Well, I try not to unless I'm really in a mood. If I'm pissed off, then I might. But, I mean, that's rare. That's a rare occasion. And water and honey and lemon and, you know. That's
you don't need your, like, walls painted a certain color?
No, I'm not there. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet. I feel like at some point, though, I'm going to be really, I feel like I'm going to be that
all
girl.
All restoration hardware.
You should.
Yeah.
Do you have a color in mind?
It has to be all West Elm nylon accent pillows.
Okay.
Like, that's how I'm going to feel. Yeah. At some point, like, I'll be that picky.
When people do
the way,
that,
you say it with so much neck.
I do, listen, that's what it's going to be. When I'm doing it, I'm going to say it has to be this. It has to smell like
I'm always so curious as to, like, so that each venue has to, like, get all that, like, all that stuff again. It's not you travel with it and decorate it yourself.
I mean, I'll travel with some throat coats.
You meaning
just
like,
in case,
you know, general.
Yeah.
Sort of,
yeah. They're expected to show up with it. I mean, my rider is never obnoxious.
Okay.
I mean, it hasn't been obnoxious. So I feel like, I mean, people don't really have an issue with it. They can just go to Costco and pick up some tea if need be. You know what I mean? It's not that deep.
Right. But because it's Costco, it's a ton of tea. Just
it's
a lot.
A ton of tea.
So much
like,
tea.
You never know. Sometimes I may want to take it with me to the next stop. We don't know.
So the podcast started out as, we sold it to the podcast network as a dinner party style conversation.
At our Upper West Side apartment.
Yeah, we're going to have
all these rappers
and
people
personalities up.
And so they put out the press release, and it said that it was a dinner party. And we were like, well, that's different.
Yeah, so now we're forcing our hand.
We cook for people.
And so we did. We cooked for everyone from like Smoke Dizza to Fat Trell to, you know, everyone in between.
Sinbad,
kind of incredible, though.
Yeah. So it turned out all right.
I mean, do you know how to cook? I mean, these are well-prepared meals. These aren't like, hey, come over for frozen
when
rice.
We did
get frozen food for Fat Jew as a fuck you sort of thing.
Absolutely, you should.
Like, he's not getting like a nice
warm meal.
He's
the only one
that's
going to appreciate it anyway.
Right. But no, we made like a salmon and papillote for Bodega Bams, who ate the lemon, by the way.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's like in, you know,
like
Spanish Harlem thing or...
No, I don't think you ever eat a lemon.
I didn't think you were supposed to eat
the
lemon.
No, but he
was hungry.
Full in and he ate it.
He was hungry.
He committed. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Dominican thing.
But today we ran up to this place called Silver Moon Bakery, and they have really dope cookies, and we decided it's tea time during the day, so why not?
So I love how the rappers got like the Anthony Bourdain style treatment, and I show up and got fucking gargantuan cookies. Like, this is not fair.
We could have
just
made you.
Teasing you.
I mean, come on.
We could have gotten you what we got for Fat Jew, so.
That's true. You know what? I would actually take this, because sometimes I go places and people are like, oh, well, I feel like you probably don't eat, so we just got you quinoa. Like, no, you could have just done mashed potatoes and chicken. I would have been fine.
They make assumptions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I've gone places before where there will be a spread, and the spread is like, you know, cucumbers than, you know, watermelon. And I'm like, oh my god, how delicious are cucumbers? They are, but come on, man.
So filling.
I went a place one time and they had cucumbers and watermelon. I was like, you can't give me the Body Shop lotion combo of food. That's not fair.
Are you afraid to tell people like where your spot is in the city? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like, there's a restaurant that you'll go to that like you just want to keep your own.
Absolutely.
All right.
I have a couple, but I feel like at this point it's kind of people are up on it already.
Oh really?
So it's not. Yeah.
Celebrity sighting.
Sbarro.
It's not even like a celebrity sighting. It's just like it's one of the.
No, you're the celebrity. You'll get seen at this place. Is
not
the point.
Just that, but just like I don't want people to know where I'm. Like, right, you where don't want to wait. Like, in I don't want to wait in line. Yeah. I don't want to make it hot, and then it's all of a sudden it's packed every time I go.
That's cool for you, not so good for the owners of the place.
That's true. Yo, I'm kind of hating on the business a little bit.
You are a lot.
But I go there and I order like a really not like a stupid amount of food, so they can't really. And I'm always with a squad, so I never
good.
Go by myself to try to beat. No, I'm going in with four or five people. We're starving, probably drunk.
If you're bringing four to five people, then those people all know it. And then those people are going to bring four.
Yeah,
or
no,
five
but
people.
It's always the same four to five consistent team. I mean, like, you, we have a code,
and you trust your team.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's
we
what
can't.
I'm saying.
We can't be out here giving you know.
Who are
all
you
the
rolling with?
Right,
I roll with one of the four or five people.
So you're the you want the network. You're like I want to be someone else's plus one. Can we do this?
So do you get you are a celebrity.
You're
of a certain level, right?
I guess.
Do all your friends just count on being like a plus four?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe in that. Travel light, travel far.
All right.
I really try to keep it small. Depending on where the event is or what we're doing, I like two to three people max with me, and that's it.
Okay.
You brought one person with you today.
Yeah, only one.
Billy J is like
my automatic plus one.
Shouts
to Billy
J. Billy
J isn't even a plus one. Billy J is Billy J on the list.
He's like your right arm.
That's it.
When the Migos came, they had like 10 people here, and it was just like, guys, where are we going to fit you all?
Like, only at the end was somebody like, oh, maybe you should check and make sure everything is still here.
From Migos,
yeah.
Oh,
well,
just because, like, you know, they're just like in other like bedrooms.
I mean,
stuff,
you said one of them had their Cyclops glasses on to eliminate and see through all the fuck shit. So I guess that means they were looking. He could have been finding wherever you might have hid some money in the cushions or whatever.
Or
he
the computers,
seen it.
Yeah,
he might have just taken that laptop and been like, "Fuck this interview." You don't know.
Actually, I think it's and I brought this up with the Smoke Diz interview. I feel like it's a very New York thing that you don't go to your people's apartments.
No.
Yeah.
You don't. We meet outside in public. You don't need to know where I live.
See, like,
I feel that way.
He was saying, and Eric disagreed with me as well. He was saying that because I'm not a smoker, that's why I don't go to my friend's apartments.
Because you just go to a friend's apartment to smoke weed?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, I feel like that could be accurate. I guess it's a subculture thing. I don't smoke weed, so I can't.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't say whether that's the case or not. But I would believe that. I would believe
that.
It feels
believable enough.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
smokers for the most part stick together anyway. They're kind of clicky, so it's like
they roll in groups of four to five. What do you know about that?
Oh, I roll in groups of four to five, but it's usually not. We're not smokers, but I mean, a couple of them are, but they don't. They show up high already, so it's not like, hey, let's all collectively go do this as a group activity. But I don't think I want people to know where I live.
Okay.
I mean, I just feel like in New York, and especially in New York, it's just kind of like. It's too accessible already. I take the train. I would rather be on the train than in a cab and sit in traffic and pay $50 to go nine blocks. So I just...
And now they drive 25 miles per hour because they don't want to break the new speed limit, so it's going to take even longer to get to a place.
Yeah, because that ticket is real.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, late at night, if you're taking a local train, that's always a bummer.
Absolutely.
Where are you originally from?
Chelsea.
Really?
I grew up in the city. Yeah.
Like,
everybody makes a mistake because my initials are BK, so everybody automatically thinks that I'm from Brooklyn. And I have a deep, raspy voice. I have like a mean tonality problem.
But
so I think people just assume anyway, like, oh, she's got to be from Brooklyn. She's rude and rough, and she talks fast. That's the assumption.
There's rude people all over the city, right? Come on.
All over the
Let's
city.
Let's just be honest.
It doesn't matter where they are. There's rude people in Times Square.
You did take...
I'm so upset that I promised I wasn't going to eat this
no, but,
cookie.
No, but look
you're
at
eating,
it, though.
You're eating so little of
and
the
And they're
big
soft,
cookie.
Too.
Yeah.
I was going to take the little piece.
It's really good. Shout out to Silver Moon Bakery.
Yeah.
This is pretty good, guys.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we baked it, but thank you.
Yeah. Eat the cookie, anime.
Yeah, we can't bake. Can you bake?
I actually I make a really great apple pie. That's the only thing I can make.
That's a science.
Incredibly
like,
well.
Yeah. If you go over or under, it might not come out.
No.
So your crust is nice?
My crust is nice.
Your apples?
My apples are always soft.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of apples are you using?
I use Granny Smith apples.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want it tart?
No.
No.
Eric doesn't know what these words mean. Eric is just saying words. Eric has watched like MasterChef Junior and thinks that he's an expert.
The thing is Granny Smith apples take longer to like to turn brown.
Oh really?
So when you put when I make the mix with the vanilla and the brown sugar to put on the apples,
yeah,
and you sprinkle lemon on them, you can let it sit for longer, so the sugar soaks into Granny Smith's better,
cool.
I find than
so they're, so they're tart is what Eric was saying.
No, they're sweet as shit okay, actually. Yeah.
So when are you baking pies? Like, is this for like
winter.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I do it in the wintertime. I can't in the summertime. I'm not that my appetite is just it's lost
because really?
It's so hot. Yeah, it's hot as shit. I don't want to eat a giant piece of pie.
All right, that's fair. Yeah.
See, but then when you bring it in with like the ice cream though,
I don't eat ice cream. I have a weird listen. I go through this all the time. I have a weird thing. I was traumatized as a kid because my aunt used to make all the sandwiches with mayonnaise, but it was like the Kirkland signature giant.
You get a Costco.
The giant tub, and she used to like scoop it. It would make noise. Traumatized. I hate all things that are white and creamy. No yogurt. No sour cream. No tartar sauce. Ranch.
Definitely no mayo.
Definitely no mayo. No milk. No nothing. I eat cereal dry.
You eat cereal dry?
Yes.
Okay, that's a little bizarre.
I just don't like things that are white, and it's the consistency too. It's a texture thing.
By the way, you're sitting with two white guys right now.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, no, I wouldn't classify either one of you as creamy. I don't think that's qualifying. Smooth. Yeah. Smooth is a lot better than creamy.
So you're originally from Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, Billy J wants. He knows what's up. He wants
a
cookie.
I'll take a little piece of that off for me. Thank you. That's what I want.
What were you going to say?
You're originally from Chelsea.
I am.
What's the stereotype of Chelsea people?
I mean, there is none, gay. Honestly, because, listen, when I was growing up, it was not, like, she. It was not Queer Eye for the Straight Guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, crackheads and trannies. It wasn't fly.
Were you near, like, a subway station, at least?
Yeah, I was on 9th Avenue. I was on 20th and 9th. But it was, like, nothing that I grew up with. None of the, like, the corner stores, the laundromat, the meat market. None of it is there.
Right.
Everything is gone, so...
We're living in a Highline era now, so...
It's weird. The whole neighborhood has completely changed. My mother still lives there. Her friends still live there. So, I mean, I still...
Does she enjoy the Highline?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't think anybody from New York actually,
no
like,
one enjoys really
the enjoys
Highline.
It is a tourist trap now. Yeah. Like, it gets busy.
It's just kind of like... Well, I mean, it's the same shit we've been seeing every day, so I'm
right.
cool.
Right. So, at any point... I assume you started singing, like, real early, right?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm. I wanted to save the dolphins and the whales when I was a kid.
Okay.
I love...
You
I mean,
could still sing and save animals.
Yeah. And Pantanieri or whatever her name is, she
but
did
I wanted to, I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was a kid.
Really?
That was really what I wanted to do.
How far did that go?
As far as me signing my mother up for all these conservatory things where she had to donate money. But I really took an interest in it, and I didn't really take music seriously until I was about 10 years old.
Okay.
And I was driving in a car, and Lauryn Hill's, the Fugees, Killing Me Softly came on the radio. And I was singing it, top of my lungs, wasn't even thinking about it. And they, like, my aunt turned the radio down, and everyone turned around. I was in the back seat of the van. Everybody turned around and looked at me like, really? Like, this is what you've been hiding and sitting on this whole time? And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, well, I can sing. This is something that'll be cool. And I can, you know, let me try it. And my dad put me in a church choir.
That's cool.
So that's where that began.
What range are you?
I'm an alto.
Okay. Did anyone ever try to change you?
Absolutely.
And?
Well, I went to LaGuardia. I went to performing arts school. So it was the training was classical. It was like, okay, well, you get to sing opera in French and Italian and German. I was like, when can I sing like the sister act shit? Like, where's the cool part? You know what I mean? And it never happened. But they definitely tried to... You know, they try and train you in a way that makes you more versatile, but it doesn't necessarily build on your strengths. So for me, I struggled because I have a deep voice. So I was singing alto, and sometimes, like in gospel choir, it would be like, well, try soprano. We don't have enough sopranos today, so try to sing soprano.
Right.
And I would end up blowing out my voice and be pissed off. Like, well, damn, I'm not a soprano for a reason, clearly.
It was punishment.
It was punishment a little bit, but it was fine. I like being an alto.
Did you resent your teachers at all?
Only one.
Okay.
Only one because I felt like she had it out for me a little bit. But I will admit, in high school, I was a complete bitch. So I understand why she probably gave me shit was because I was such a pain in the ass. But I think, but I also think, you know, she didn't really want me to be great. Like, I was just trying to be great.
She wouldn't give you that
myself.
West Elm. Yeah.
She wouldn't give me the West Elm accent pillows. Like, she just wasn't trying to let me shine bright like a diamond. So we bumped heads. But I think, you know, in the wake of all of that, I think she recognized that she thought I was talented without really giving me credit.
So I know that you used to perform in the subways.
Yep.
But more importantly, did you do Showtime? Did you ever Showtime?
No.
No?
I wanted to so badly. But I never got around to it.
Well, first of all, for people who don't know what show timing is, it's a bunch of, like, usually guys who come onto a train car, bring a radio, announce that it's showtime, and then do acrobatics from, like, the handrails.
Yeah, on the subway. And so, like, but there's also, like, hat tricks that people do. There's a lot of, like, flipping around, and then, like, you always have to go
in an effort to get tips, and, you know, the hope is that you'll get a good amount of money by the end of the day by you know, having fun on the subway.
So you never did showtime.
No, I was sweating bullets on the L train platform at Union Square, because that was the only place the cops weren't going, so that was the only place I could go and sing my ass off and not get arrested.
Where was your spot in Union Square?
It was on the L platform, so it was all the way down.
No, but do you have to go to, like, one end or the other, or stay in the middle?
Wherever there was no other performer, because there was always performers there.
Right.
See, but you weren't actually on the subway. You were actually on the subway platform.
On the platform.
Oh, yeah, I was on the platform. I had, like, little CDs and bumper stickers. Mm-hmm.
Probably, I'm going to say, 6 years ago at this point.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Bumper stickers.
I got bumper stickers.
Do you still?
Oh, right, for New York. Because I was thinking, like, there's no cars in New York, but then it's also, they can be put anywhere.
You can put them anywhere. You can put them all over the city, which is initially my thought, and that, you know. We did that. We tried it, but we didn't get enough. We didn't order enough.
Gotcha. Oh, so that's great then.
Yeah. That's a good problem.
You sold out. Yeah. Like 6 years ago, we wanted to write for, and we were just, you know, doing sketch videos. So we started out doing sketch videos. Mm-hmm. First video we ever did was called Deconstructing Biggie, where we took the Biggie line, "Your Meg's my style, you're admiring, don't be mad, UPS is hiring." Looked at it from the UPS driver's perspective, who hated it, and the DHL and the FedEx guys, who thought it was the greatest thing in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And the video did crazy numbers, and then we were like, let's do another video. The next video we did was...
We threw an early retirement party for Lloyd Banks.
He was not popping at the time.
He wasn't happy about it, apparently. We learned 7 years later when he came up to Eric and I. We were interviewing G-Unit. Mm-hmm. And 50 came in, super friendly. Yayo comes in, super friendly.
Young Buck
comes in,
terrific.
Super friendly. Yeah. Lloyd Banks comes right over to me and goes, "I know you. I don't like you. You made fun of me. Don't make me beat you up." And then go sits on the other side of the room. We were just like, did we make fun of him?
We're like, long memory for this guy.
Right.
But like, what's crazy is that, like, we bring it up fairly often in meetings and stuff, just because, like, that's like the history of things. And I honestly was just like, I don't even know what this guy's talking about.
This is the second story you told me today, by the way, where somebody has kind of almost threatened you a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, we have so many more. No.
Really? Does that happen a lot?
No.
Am I safe here? Like, do I need to be worried somebody's going to break your door down?
You're good.
Okay.
No, there's far many more people who like us than don't.
Yeah.
Okay,
but we've had glasses thrown at us. We've had...
That was a glass that was thrown at you.
Okay, yes. A glass was thrown at me.
Don't lump me in on this.
We've had someone else threaten to punches in the face. But you know, generally
it comes with the territory.
It does. Well, a lot more people actually, and maybe you know this, like, have a better sense of humor in this business than don't.
I feel like you have to, though. You can't take yourself too seriously as an artist.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know what has actually made it impossible to be the opposite is social media.
Yeah.
Because now everybody has access to everything that you do and everything that you say. So it's like, it doesn't even.
Shout out to OVO Fest.
Yeah.
By the way, your social media, I don't know. I told my mom, I was like, well, we're going to interview Bridget Kelly. And she was like, the woman from Bridgegate, Chris Christie's, like, and I was like, no.
Let me tell you how much my timeline was flooded.
I bet.
People were like, you crazy bitch. And I was like, what did I do?
You know what you did.
Yeah.
It's my fault, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So 6 years ago, we were doing these sketches, and we're like, let's take it to the next level. We want to write for, like, the VMAs.
Oh, right. I forgot there was a story to this.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. I have the worst ADD. I would never have gone back to that. There were, like, five tangents. Sorry.
It's all good. We were like, let's get on their radar by doing a series of videos where we'll pretend to be subway performers. I'll drum on a bunch of... of Home Depot buckets, and Jeff will sing, and we'll video it, and it'll be funny, and the whole thing.
Right.
So we'll go to an empty subway stop. So we went to like Central Park West.
Oh, I was going
to
say, like, a G train stop?
No. This is at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, the ACE line.
Yeah, no one's down there. We went all the way to the end, and there's, like, one exit. So we went the opposite of the exit. There's no one there. And we're drumming our hearts out and singing our hearts out and videoing it. So there's three of us there. And
that's
it was
awesome.
Great, and we got all of our material. But at that point, a subway car comes, and the conductor looks over at us, makes
sees
a call.
That we're filming.
Yeah, makes a call in the subway, makes a call to the cops, and about, like, six to eight police officers show up for like these three skinny guys.
Because we're living in a post 9/11 world and That's you weren't allowed to film in the subway stations.
We are suspicious.
Yeah.
And the guys come over to us and they were just like, they're like, what are you guys doing? And in that moment, it's you either say, oh, we go to, you know, like
Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia or SUNY Purchase or something and be like, we're students and we're doing this project. Right. Or we just tell them the truth and we're like, we're hip-hop sketch comedians. We're hoping to work for MTV. We're doing this stuff. And they were just like, oh, that's cool. How do you make money? And we're just like,
what are you, our parents?
Yeah.
Like, like, oh, thanks for not arresting me, sir.
I know.
You're going to question me on the platform?
And they let us go. But it was so weird. It was so weird. But that's what happened to us in a subway stop.
Have you ever had trouble with the police?
Absolutely.
With the law?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Johnny Law? Yeah. Really?
Only a couple times, but I've never been arrested.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly.
I've never been arrested, which is the most important thing. But yeah, I've been...
In case your mom's listening.
In case anybody's listening. I'm not a
You have no record.
I'm not a threat to society by any means, but... no, I did. I've had a couple run-ins with police. I mean, you know, you get pulled over sometimes, and it's step out of the car. Is everything okay?
Was everything okay?
Yeah. Plus, I'm a lot lighter than all the guys that I date. So if I'm in the passenger seat, then it's also, I get 15 questions like, sir, don't answer this. Ma'am, are you all right? And it's like,
really?
Well, yeah, I'm not. If I was being abducted, you really think I'd be in the passenger seat with my shoes on the dashboard? Mm-hmm. Like, that wouldn't be the case.
Well, maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
I got pulled over once in my life. We were coming back from a club, and I don't drive that much. And it was a very bright night, full moon, and I did not put my lights on. We were also under a street light, and the policeman pulled me over. First question says, like, where are you coming from, or like, what were you doing tonight, or something. And I don't drink, and so he was just like, you know, what were you doing? And I was just like, dancing. And then he told me to get out of the car and walk in line.
Yeah, oh, you're a dancer, huh?
Yeah.
See your moves on the sidewalk, shall we?
Turn your lights on.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys you date.
Guys I date.
Have you... Okay, there was this big article in the New York Times probably a month and a half ago that came out about a new term. It's been going on for a long time, but now they have a term for it, and it's called ghosting.
What's ghosting?
Ghosting is when you
Doesn't it sound dope?
It sounds really awesome. What is ghosting?
It's when you totally stop communication with someone that you've been seeing and don't even like acknowledge them.
Yeah, you just disappear.
Anymore. You ghost.
I don't think I've ever done that to anybody.
Has that happened to you?
No.
All right. You seem like a nice woman.
But I'm also a little crazy, so I feel like people would be scared to
just
ghost.
Just as I say, like, you're really nice.
Don't
like,
go ghost on me. I'm going to go thriller on you. You know what I mean? It's I feel like I give that off, so nobody's really trying to.
Right. Okay. I feel like if somebody ghosted you, you would actually show up at their apartment and be like, I am here.
You thought you were going to get away.
So, okay. Whenever you go through a breakup, do you need closure? One way or another?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so if people ghosted, like, that's no good.
Oh, no.
You will go and get your closure.
Oh, I'll sit outside. I'll camp out. I'll find out where you are. We'll have mutual friends. I mean, you know, depending on who it is. But I'm a relationship person. So, like, I was in a relationship for, like, 4 years.
Okay.
And so it was just one person I was dealing with. And I was single for a little bit. And then I've been trying to kind of maybe, meeting new people is so difficult.
Just
it's so tough.
All across the board or in New York City?
Because they all think that you're the other Bridget Kelly.
They do. Nobody wants to date anyone that works for Chris Christie. But I think, I think just in general, like, I've been off of the dating scene for so long that meeting somebody new that I'm interested in, I wouldn't even know how to, like, really flirt with somebody. Because I'm usually
right, you
so
feel like
chatty
you're a
anyway.
Rookie, yeah.
So I feel like somebody I unconsciously flirt with people that I have no interest in, and then the people that I may actually be interested in are kind of like, oh, well, she's like that with everybody, so she doesn't like me. And I'm like, wait,
that,
no,
that's a thing.
I do.
I don't know if there's a term for that, but that is a thing.
We need a term for that.
I know.
We need to come up with a term for that, because that's a problem for me. That's a real problem for me.
Really?
Oh yeah. I don't know how to not. I flirt with everybody.
You are
so
who
I don't
you
know.
Are.
I am who I am.
Yeah.
So that's hard. The guys don't know what to make of that. They're like, are you really? Is this real? Are you really?
Have you okay? Have you dated friends?
Yes.
And has that? Well, obviously you're not with them anymore.
No.
How did that affect the friendship?
Here's the thing. I don't have beef with anyone.
Right.
No one that I've dated. I think except for my ex-boyfriend. My ex-boyfriend hates me at the moment.
Okay.
But, you know, we all go through that with exes anyway at some point. There's like, sure. There's a lot of hate, love going
on. Yeah, right.
I
feel like you'd be a fun ex. By
other than him, I would be an awesome. I'm an awesome ex. Well, I'm so much nicer after things are kind of said and done. I feel like, you know, when it's like really in the moment and I'm upset and I'm heartbroken and I'm devastated and angry, there's no, you know. You
right.
Can't, I'm a dragon. You can't turn me down.
Yo, I love dragons.
So I mean, in that moment, it's like, oh, get away from me. But otherwise, once the dust settles, like I'm cool, I'm friendly. I don't have beef with any of my exes.
How long does it typically take you to get over a relationship? Does it have to be like?
I would say 6 months to a year.
For everyone across the board.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that even if they were like a friend before, even if they were just like someone you met randomly, like regardless, mm-hmm. 6 months to a year.
I wouldn't take anybody seriously that didn't have a profound enough effect on me. So that's why I feel like I would give it that kind of window of time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, you really had an impact. Like,
right.
You really. So if it's over, I need to like psych myself out of it. So.
Man.
I mean, most of the songs that I write about anyway are about love. So it's sure. Like that's been the source of my inspiration since I was in high school.
Well, You know, everyone always says they're just like, well, now you're in a good place to write good material. Like, you may be heartbroken, but
right.
No.
It's a bunch of crap, right?
It's totally shit. I feel like you can write good music wherever you are in your life.
Yeah.
I think if you're in love, you still, I mean, I don't know, most artists are dramatic. We like the drama.
Well, sure.
Like, women especially, yeah. We're melodramatic. Like, we live for that melancholy, like, General Hospital style feeling. So
right.
Even if we're in love, we don't even really believe, like, all right, we'll remove ourselves from being in love for a second so that we can write this dark, deep, eerie shit and then go back to being in love in real life.
Yeah, it's like a method. Like
love didn't work for Future.
No, it didn't work for Future, but
I mean, I feel like it could have, but
yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm not saying that, like, anytime that Future's happy... Well, anytime Future's happy, it's just going to be terrible for the listener.
We're not going to have really awesome documentaries if you're happy.
But you know what, though? No, in retrospect, and I said this to someone, we went to the Future listening for DS2, and mm-hmm. I said to someone, in retrospect, which record was it?
Oh, Honest?
No, it wasn't Honest, which is not a bad record,
no.
But the Drunken Love version that he had, it actually wasn't that bad. In retrospect, it came up randomly on iTunes, not that bad. He wrote that for Beyonce or helped in some way for Beyonce.
Right.
And someone leaked it at the time
And
it came out and people were just like, this is the worst shit I've ever heard in my life.
Who but said it, that? I liked it.
I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah. Really wasn't that bad.
I didn't hear
most of the internet did not like it.
Here,
I'll sing
demo
it for
it.
You.
Oh, good. Okay.
Jeff's an alto.
Oh,
so.
Well, listen, I'm ready. Maybe we should go to the Subway platform and really perform this so I can get a better
if you can
feel
be,
for your
if you can do a soprano, you can harmonize and it'll be nice.
Nope, that's not going to happen. Sorry, guys. Not even going to do that to myself.
Who did you go to high school with that... that you're still close with? Like, just anyone. Are you cool with anyone?
No, I don't talk to anyone from
You didn't go to your high school reunion?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Were you invited?
Oh, that would have been...
I was invited.
I went to my high school reunion and stunted on everybody. Because everybody...
Because no one leaves town.
School, yeah, everybody in my high school works at, like, delis and hair salons.
Where did you go to high school?
We're from
up
Westchester.
Oh, well, then that's different. You're living in the city. That's, like, the high life.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, we also do what we do, which is different. And
of course.
Jeff had also gotten off the Rihanna plane. Do you remember that?
Yeah, when she did the seven things. Yep. Yeah. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah,
so you got off and you stunted.
And I literally, like, the next day.
It was like Romy and Michelle's high school reunion for real. Like, you got out of the chopper, landed, you were like, psh, we in this bitch. Yeah. That's kind of fly.
Yeah.
I didn't really like a lot of people in high school. People didn't, I mean.
Yeah, but that's why you go in guns blazing and be like,
yeah, but
oh,
I don't
want
to have
you?
To talk to them.
Did
I
we go
like,
to high school?
They were the same people that, like, hit me up on Facebook, like, oh my God, I'm a producer now.
They do, right?
Awesome. They all do. I hate it.
Do they follow you on Twitter?
I don't know if they follow me on Twitter.
You blocked them all.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. I stopped using Facebook for like a year and a half, 2 years because it was just getting a little crazy. It was getting out of hand.
Yeah. Well,
people from like fourth grade, I was like, how did you find me? Like, how do you even remember me?
What about on Instagram?
I get people that leave comments sometimes like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, you worked at American Apparel with me and I wasn't doing anything with my life and you're proud of me? Like, I just feel like we didn't start from the bottom together. Like, what do you mean you're proud of me?
Did you go to your American Apparel reunion?
I should have, actually. You know what's funny though? Kid Cudi and I used to work in American Apparel together.
Oh,
like, we worked
really?
At the same store. Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah.
How was Kid Cudi as a folder?
Kid Cudi's folding skills were impeccable. Yo. His color coding, oh my God.
What about yours?
The plum? Yeah. I was really good at the color coding.
Okay.
I was really good at the stocking of the sizes and making sure everything was neat and even.
Did you realize that, was it Dov Charney?
Yes. Yeah.
That he was such a nice stand-up individual.
Oh my gosh.
Time.
He was just bursting with integrity. It was unreal.
Was he trying to get you to model?
Absolutely.
What
every
were the
time? He was trying to get me to model the men's briefs, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What
and
were the
you said
and I said not unless there's a check. He what was like, "Well, I can pay you another." I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm good."
What were the what were the perks of that job beyond the possibility of showing your body off to Dov?
Health insurance? They gave us health insurance.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, they absolutely.
That's actually really
every
decent.
Every employee at American Apparel had, every full-time employee had health insurance.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you use that, like?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just go to the doctor.
Yeah, of course. All the times that I thought I might have been, you know, had like, food poisoning, and it was just a hangover, and I ended up in the
just
hospital.
Lots of times.
It was great.
Did Dov try and get Kid Cudi to model the
Scott?
Men's briefs?
You know what? I would not be surprised.
How well did you know Scott at the time?
We used to work together in Brooklyn. He had worked out of a studio way out in Brooklyn on the 3 train. So we used to work together.
So you knew he had musical aspirations?
Oh, yeah. We did together. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cudi and I both knew we were trying to do music together. And he got signed to Good Music actually around the time that when he left American Apparel was when he got signed.
Did you go to the A-Life performance?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Did you stay like close afterwards? Was it
something?
It might
have been. I don't know if it was A-Life or Bape. It was one of those where it was Ice Cream. He was involved with something.
When it was turning into something.
Yes.
Wow. Were you
so
like...
that was like 2005 probably?
Okay.
Yeah. 2005, 2006.
And when did you get signed?
2008.
Okay. So what were those 2 years of watching him sort of like get on like for you?
It was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing. But I also... it's weird. I never had like a fear or a doubt that I wasn't gonna make it or be signed somewhere.
I always
was really confident in what I was doing, so I felt like, okay, well, it's just gonna get picked up somewhere.
Yeah, so we're the same way. Like some people call that stubbornness. Our relatives may not get it. Did you go through the same thing?
Absolutely.
Like Thanksgiving was a little weird.
My mom did not. I mean, she still sometimes screws it up and says, "Well, if you get famous," like she still says shit like that to me. But in the beginning, it was like there was like a period of time where she was like, "Maybe you should just quit and work for the post office." And I was like,
oh man. Oh, she wanted you to leave American Apparel?
Oh my
she
God.
Didn't even believe that you could be a marine biologist?
I mean, she was hoping that I would be a marine biologist. That was it was a solid, tangible degree that could get me a job and a check. So it's like she was more hopeful for that, I think, than anything else.
Did you go to college?
I started a new school.
I did.
I was in the jazz program for about a year and a half.
Jazz?
Yeah.
What were you looking...
real new.
I know. What were you...
acting real new.
What were you looking to do with a jazz degree?
Nothing at all.
Okay.
I honestly went to college to appease my mother. I really wanted I wanted her to feel like I was doing something that was, you know, a little bit, at least in the direction that I wanted to go in. But it's like, at least if she feels like she can say, "Whew, she completed college, she did all right," then I did it for her.
Do you have any siblings?
No.
Okay, so it was on you.
Yeah. All on me. And everyone in my family went to college. So no one does music, no one does anything in the industry.
What
did
they do?
I mean, everyone's like a teacher, or they do construction, or they, you know, they're police officers. They, you know, it's like all the other cards in the game of life except Rockstar.
Right.
That's how I think about my family. Yeah.
And so, okay, so you get signed in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations at that point?
Thought I was gonna be like Boats and Hoes, like on a yacht somewhere, and just, you know,
the Hypnotized video
pop, right? Basically, you know what I mean, silk Versace shirts over my bathing suit, like that's what I thought it was gonna be.
You know what I mean
Cane, the shades, all of it.
Total
girls in tanks.
Yeah, right.
It was just gonna be this
mermaids,
endless just this endless celebration and turn up, and it was nothing like that at all. Nothing
so, okay, else. For those people who, I mean, and I know times are a little different today than they were in 2008, mm-hmm. but like when you get signed, was there a signing bonus?
Oh, yeah.
Was there, did they give you an expectation that an album would come out in a certain period of time?
No.
Okay.
I was the first artist that was signed to Roc Nation.
Right.
Like J. Cole and I were signed pretty much back to back.
Right.
Do you hold that over him? That you were
see,
the first?
See, he tries to say that he's first, but I know for a fact I was first, mm-hmm. because they didn't even have it. Like Roc Nation didn't even have an office at the time that I got
right.
time. Like, everybody was doing business out of Rock the Mic. So it was like, there was no real, like, establishment yet. You know what I mean? It was just, it was kind of this baby embryo that everybody was excited about. But no, I mean, I got signed. I had my job. I still kept my, I was working at Equinox.
Wow.
At the time. I was working
Did your shirt say front desk or what is it? Okay.
It did. It was so, it was tacky jacky. I was annoyed. But I mean, there's nothing you can do at that point. It's like, whatever. At some point I started to improvise because they made me a manager. So I was like cutting and making a crop top.
Okay.
So you were like inventive.
Blacking out different letters. No. So it's like font desk or something.
So this is not a joke. We both used to belong to Equinox.
As
Look at
I'm sure
you can tell. Like,
no, but we did though. And, but then
look at these cookies. And but look then at how skinny you are. Jesus.
And then there was a time where it's just like, oh, we're donating money. And we're not
to
even
the bottom
going.
Line. Like you're just
let's just.
If you got a
this.
Holiday bonus, it was from us.
And I haven't gone to Equinox in like years, but they still email me being like, "Hey, this is your last chance to rejoin." But they do this every.
Of course, they never want to let you go.
Never,
they never want to let you go. They never let you go.
But so you were signed, but still working at Equinox.
Oh yeah, when I found the day that I found out I was getting signed, I was on my way to work.
Wow.
Oh yeah, and I went into work.
What was that phone call like, or was that an email, or?
Well, my manager at the time showed up at my house while I was I always did the
in person
morning shift. Yeah. Well, he was a bartender, so he left work at like 4:30 in the morning, and I worked
opposite schedules.
I opened Equinox at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaving to go to work, and he's like literally like I'm outside your house. Let me tell you what's going on, and so that was.
Wow.
I was like, that's awesome. I'm going to go to work.
Yeah.
do you have a check in hand right now? Like, is this like.
Real quick.
Wait, did you leave Equinox in a blaze of glory?
I did.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah.
Say fuck you and your complete health plan?
Absolutely did. I knocked over that little the clipboard thing that had the class schedules. I was like, fuck this place. I'm out. But then I went and worked at a Pilates studio. After that.
Okay.
So, I mean, I kept, the first year I was signed, nobody did any, we did nothing. Like, we recorded a couple songs, but what I wanted to do creatively, my vision, how I saw it, was much more of like a pink Alicia Keys rather than a Mary J. Blige. And I think that's what they really wanted. So,
they wanted a Mary.
They wanted you to go through another breakup.
But yeah, they wanted me to be miserable. Can you just go have a baby by somebody real fast? So, you just be scorned for life and we'll always get an album.
So, you were living life. Mm hmm. Did you turn yourself more into a Mary than a Pink or
not
a...
until?
Oh, I just realized that you were talking about the artist Pink and not like I thought. I
the color.
I was talking about the color.
I thought it was more like a lifestyle, like a like a tint on life or something.
I would love. I'm gonna come back to what you think a Pink lifestyle would be, like the color Pink lifestyle. Like, what is that? How would that be?
Maybe Jeff meant like you were wearing like those sweatpants that say Pink on the back.
Well, you said a Pink Alicia Keys, and I was like, okay, so like a girlier Alicia Keys, I guess.
No, but I've always like been influenced by a lot of different artists. So I really, you know, my mom was listening to Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan.
That's
and,
cool.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was listening to. I had a nice little array of, you know, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and then all of a sudden we have Simon and Garfunkel. So it was really, you know, I was inspired by a lot of different shit. And I don't think that it was, I needed more time to experiment.
Sure.
So the first year when I was signing, we really did nothing. I was just kind of a sitting duck.
Yeah.
And then in 2009, it was like, oh, hey, we have this opportunity, this random opportunity for you. Just come and, you know, sing background for this. Jay just needs a favor.
Right.
And I was like, okay, fine. Anything Jay needs, fine. I'm there. No problem. Went to rehearsal and they sent me the song and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to be singing background for Alicia Keys. This is going to be the greatest moment of my life.
The Pink Alicia Keys?
The Pink Alicia Keys. So I got there. I got to rehearsal and they were like handing me the microphone. They're like, okay, this is just, you know, when the chorus comes in. I was like, so am I harmonizing? Like, where do I stand? Am I standing like in the background? They were like, no, Alicia's not coming. This is all you. I was like, okay, cool. I'll be right back. And I like went outside and literally wanted to throw up. I had to catch my breath. It was crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So my very first performance, first anything as a signed artist was on stage at Madison Square Garden for that 9/11 concert.
That's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
We saw you perform on the Blueprint 3 tour.
Yeah.
Down in Atlantic City.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw you perform at Barclays, I think, too. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which tour it was, but both were dope.
Yeah.
You killed both.
Thank you.
Didn't throw up.
I didn't throw up.
Those were good.
I got rid of those jitters the first
time. That was... So the Blueprint 3 tour was Trey Songz, Jeezy, mm-hmm. and Jay. Mm-hmm. Did you have
Bridget.
And Bridget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have... And by the way, the show that we went to, At Atlantic Stevie City, Stevie Wonder was in the audience.
Yes, yes, he was.
Also, Michael Phelps was in VIP with us, so what's up with that?
Oh, that's way cooler than
we saw
Stevie
a bunch
Wonder.
Of people at the casino. It was at the Borgata.
Yes.
So we saw Bobby
Real Housewives
Flay
of New Jersey.
And the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Uh-huh. I would have been excited to see Bobby Flay. I'm not going to lie.
I noticed that you didn't say anything about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. What's up with that? Why can't women get along in this industry?
I don't know. That's not my industry, though. I'm not in the housewife industry.
Really?
No, not yet, guys. Help me, I'm poor.
Yo, can you imagine, like, those Thanksgivings, by the way? It's
no.
just like, what are you doing now? I'm a real housewife.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, I'm, like, at Thanksgiving, they just, like, throw a table.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
like,
too.
Well, what are your aspirations? To throw drinks in girls' faces on TV?
Totally.
That's my aspiration,
like,
in life.
Do people never think of the end game, you know?
I think that is the end game.
I feel like that's totally the end game. You've made it when you've like run across the table with, like, no shoes on.
Once you're in the bad girls club, there's no getting out.
Yeah, I feel like you're in that for life.
Yo, Teresa, whatever her last name is, something. We saw her. We saw her down at at the Borgata that night.
Yeah, she was rolling dice on the table.
She was. Mm-hmm. It's playing craps. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but it was a play on words.
I wouldn't have known what was happening either. Rolling
but
dice.
She, but her end game.
7-Eleven, 7-12.
Her end game wasn't, you know, the Real Housewives, apparently.
Well, no, her end game currently
is jail.
Being in jail.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Tax evasion.
Yeah.
Never
that
evade
sucks.
Taxes.
Yeah.
So, okay, so
I feel like if you're a housewife, you have no excuse. Like, what the fuck are you doing all day? You were evading taxes. You couldn't sit at home and be your own accountant?
Well, I mean, they're not like actual housewives.
Oh, and somebody tells me they're not good with numbers.
Oh, yikes. Well, oh well.
But so, okay, so you were signed to Roc Nation.
Yes.
Were you also signed to Columbia through them?
No, I was actually the only artist on Roc Nation that did not have a distributor.
Okay, and was that done with purpose or not? Or
in the beginning, it was, I think, because I was the first one, so they were kind of like holding out to see, you know, once we could finalize a project, what would happen. And I think that initially they wanted to operate like an indie label and finish a project, complete a project, and then shop it that way.
Right,
right.
But unfortunately, it didn't happen like that because I ended up going my first year. I just was sitting around, and then the second year I was on tour with Jay. I was on tour for 12 months.
Right.
So I did nothing for my project at all, and then started recording again. Like, they were like, okay, let's have a writing camp. And then that was when that Frank Ocean incident happened, and it kind of just threw the whole process into a downward spiral. It kind of took the wind out of everybody's sails.
Right. So by writing camp, you mean?
Basically, writing camp is they'll block out an entire studio for like a week to 10 days, and then they call in writers and producers to come in and just work and just create, and then they'll pick whatever they like out of that stuff, and then the artist comes in and cuts whatever they love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Frank and Shay Taylor, who was my producer at the time, they went in and did Thinking About Forever within the first couple hours.
Right.
So that was like everybody's favorite song, and we were like, oh my God, this is only the first day, and this is what we got. Like, set the bar really high. So we basically planned and recorded and wrote the whole album around that song.
Right.
And then he leaks his own version.
Frank leaked his own version.
Right.
Which, and the reasons, honestly, the reasons were a little bit unclear. Everybody at the label had their own feeling. They had their own, it's a rumor as far as I'm concerned, but they believe that because as soon as Frank found out that the song that wasn't going to Rihanna or Beyonce, he was like, I want it back.
Right.
Which, I mean, upon meeting Frank, I never got that vibe from him. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was that pompous.
Right.
But who knows?
Okay.
But I just think it was a sentimental song. It had some value to him, and he just decided he wanted to keep it.
Sure.
It just sucked, though, because everything else that we did just kind of got, you know,
right,
scrapped.
Right. We went to the BET Awards in 2011, I feel like.
Yep.
And
it was a good year.
It was.
you said it was a good year.
2011 was a good year.
You remember the artist Krayshawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was signed to Columbia, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to, you know, the producers of The Business?
Yes.
Yes. They love us and invite
them. I love them.
They're great.
Guys, yeah.
So Dow and Henny invited us to the studio just because they like when we crack jokes and, you know, bring like entertainment.
So we were there. They were there for like a month.
Well, because so Columbia had rented out the record plant in L.A.
Yeah.
And we're just like, you guys come up with something for Krayshawn. Just like live in the studio to the point where like the live room, they just used it for basketball. They had a basketball hoop in there. They weren't recording or anything.
Wow.
They were just like, I don't know, let's play ball.
God.
So they invited us to hang out, and
it was
people who came through that night were
Besides us, were Busta.
Yep.
We had a 30-minute conversation about global warming with Spliff Star.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. He has very controversial opinions, in case you were wondering.
Oh.
Ashanti and her mother, who she introduced as a momager. Where like it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're out with your daughter and you're still going by Momager. Like, and by the way, Ashanti couldn't have been any nicer. She was like the nicest person. I don't know if you've run into her.
She's incredibly sweet. Super nice. Very genuine. Yeah.
Very Long Island.
Yes.
She was really nice.
And then, we opened a door. Noriega was there, but we opened a door to like one of the other rooms. It was like the last room on this tour, and it's pitch black. And we open the door, and all you see is Lil Mama standing there. And then we close the door.
We were just like, oh.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Goodbye.
right. Good to see you. Bye. Vampire life.
So is that at all like what your writing camps were like?
Was Lil Mama there?
No, Lil Mama was not.
Did you check all the doors?
It was not, in fact, the Indian in the cupboard. But
Where did you do yours? At
Westlake.
Westlake?
Yeah.
West Elm.
West Elm. With the accent pillows. No, we did it at Westlake.
Okay.
The one that's on Santa Monica, not the one that's on Beverly.
Yeah.
And that's the one where, like, that's, you know, where Michael Jackson recorded and, you know, Bubbles had his own room. And
yeah, sure.
Used to say, oh, yeah, there's, like, the ghost of Bubbles. I was like, no, it's more like...
The ghost of Lil Mama.
The ghost of Lil Mama. Maybe.
So a writing camp is, like, just hanging in the studio and they brought you food and whatever. And
I would come in and out.
Yeah.
Because writers and producers were in there. At the time, I really wasn't writing like that.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I look back on now and I wish that I had, just because there was so many good vibes in there that I probably could have really come out with some really incredible stuff with the caliber of people that we were working with. I mean, it was Stargate, it was, you know, Poppin' Oak at the time. Yep. Like, they really, you know, Shay, this was like, you know, the very beginning when everybody was excited and like, okay, we'll create whatever you want to create.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I wanted to create. So I was kind of at a loss because it was, you know, I didn't really know I had an idea, but because I wasn't the one writing it, I didn't even know how to really express what it was I was trying to say.
But you were also a writer at the time too, no? Just not for yourself?
I mean, here's what happened. So I was trying to write for myself and it wasn't going over well. Nobody liked what I was writing because they felt like they wanted Mary J.
Yeah.
And I was writing, you know, Christina Aguilera pop records.
Pink Alicia Keys.
You know what I mean? Pink and yellow. So it was really like what I wanted and who I thought I was really what I was writing, and nobody thought it was good. Nobody thought it was fitting, but it was hard because in everyone else's mind, I'm a singer. So it's like, well, you can really sing anything. If you're a great singer, you could just show up. You could do pop, you could do R&B, you could do country, you could do whatever. And so they kind of pigeonholed me into R&B, excuse me, because I'm from New York, because I'm a mixed race girl. It's like, well, that's just by default, you're a lot, you have a lot more flavor. So we're just going to throw you over there with the black girls.
Right.
Which, you know, at the time was fine for me. I didn't feel any kind of way about it, but I don't think I understood really what that meant in terms of how my project was then going to be executed.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like, okay, well, this is going to just be the marketing scheme. It's going to sound really superficial to you, but in retrospect, you'll still be able to be who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that wasn't what happened. So, I mean, we spent a lot of time. I mean, the label spent a lot of money really trying to, you know, tweak and put a project out and put a project together.
Yeah.
I mean, the first EP was kind of a, you know, a crapshoot because we were like, well, there's 8 records that we have that we recorded. They're kind of genreless, so let's just throw them out and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, it generated a little bit of press, but it wasn't anything substantial enough for people to be like, oh, that's Bridget Kelly. That's awesome. So, I mean, you know, the second time around was a lot more like fluid, but it still didn't feel like me. It was still like the Mary J vibe.
Right. So that's when you parted ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, actually before that.
Yeah.
So while you're in the machine, you know, I was looking at pictures from like one of your birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody from Roc Nation like shows out for you, which is like great.
Yeah.
But are you actually friends with like, how is that vibe like in that birthday party? Like, are you just like, oh, like,
I mean, at the time, sort of? No, we were definitely friends. And at the time, the first tour I went on actually with Jay was with J. Cole, Wale, and NERD.
Mm-hmm.
So Cole and Wale and I became really close friends. And then we all ended up at Wireless together because that was kind of where we ended up. And so it was everybody's first time in London. Like, it was really exciting. And so I think, you know,
We were all
like, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. So we were just excited. We were just excited to be there. So we all kind of, you know, stuck together. But I think as time went on, everybody kind of started to see the darker side of the industry. And because, you know, everybody was in their own lane and not really paying a lot of attention, everyone sort of drifted apart. But I think, you know, I mean, we still talk to each other. We still, you know, from time to time, keep in touch.
And even if you run into, like, any of the executives over there.
It's all of.
Yeah.
Which I was a little scared about, I'm not going to lie. I really anticipated as soon as I left the label, it was going to be like, yeah, okay, fuck her. We're never going to talk to her
well,
again.
Knowing your breakup history, we know
how that ends. Roc Nation can't ghost on me. That's not going to happen either. I know everybody in the office. I know the keypad to get in.
That'd be amazing if you were just like waiting outside of 38th Street or whatever.
Yeah.
and Jay comes out and I'm like, I know where you live. Don't play me. No, I think overall, like everyone's always been really supportive. I think part of it too was because I developed such a strong personal relationship with those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they really were big brothers to me. They shielded me from a lot of shit. And I think, you know, even though I'm not a part of their label, they still were kind of like, well, if you need anything, if you need any advice, if you need it, you know, whatever, connections will help you out.
That's really cool. And I think that's ideally what adults do when they break up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's just like, you know what? This just didn't work out between the two of us, yeah. And it's cool. Like, mm-hmm. I hope you find love and I hope you do all right.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's a lot more children out there than adults.
Absolutely.
We've seen you at numerous events,
mm-hmm.
In the city.
Bridges out here.
You really like,
I be in the streets.
You know, a lot of people within this circle that we run in, a mm-hmm. lot of like internet people, a lot of music people.
Yeah.
Was that important to you to make those connections and keep those relationships alive? From a social standpoint, mm-hmm. and from a professional standpoint?
From a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
I always felt like the one thing that got me by was the fact that I was always really genuine and nice to people.
Right.
So I feel like that translated. Even if the music sucked and the music was complete shit, at least somebody no one would ever be able to say, damn, Bridget was such a bitch.
Right.
I never wanted that kind of press.
Right.
So I felt
you were
like
a bitch in high school.
In high school.
In high school, I was. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is why I didn't want to go back to the reunion and then have to get into a Real Housewives type of brawl. You know
right.
what I'm
yeah.
saying? There's
yeah.
no, there would have been no cameras
is
and no check.
That I would have wanted that?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. That's, I don't think that falls into the pink Alicia Keys, the cute girly category. But
I mean,
no.
I don't know what Alicia does in her off time. People.
I just really, I wanted people to catch a glimpse of who I was, whether the music was going to be consistent with that message or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been without the label for about a year and change, mm-hmm. and the relationships with, you know, bloggers and whoever else have been, you know, the ones at least that were genuine from both sides have remained intact.
Yeah.
So that's really important.
So on your album cover,
mm-hmm.
For this forthcoming album, mm-hmm. You have your senior quote. Which,
yep. which is the most obnoxious narcissistic shit that
is,
I could have possibly found in the dictionary.
Okay, I don't know what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is the definition of the word fetish.
This is really your senior quote?
This is really my senior quote in my yearbook.
The definition of fetish.
Uh-huh. Should we read
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
please.
With the pronunciation and everything. Like it's
oh,
like
yeah.
fetish.
Oh, I
yeah.
absolutely was going in that direction. I wanted everyone to know how full of myself I was.
Also, just real quick, was Fetish the name of Eve's
yes,
clothing line?
It was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
there
was
no
the
correlation.
Of it.
No. It was
how
no
great would that have been? Like, fetish, noun. Like,
it would have been
Eve's
awesome.
Clothing line.
Yeah. It said, something to which one pays an overwhelming amount of attention or which one admires to a foolish degree.
Okay.
I thought of myself in high school. So it just goes to show. I probably would not have had rose petals at my feet at my high school reunion. Unless that's my fetish.
The rose petals? Everyone knows Bridget Kelly loves
Everyone
those rose petals.
Bridget Kelly loves rose petals
well, no,
and West Elm pillows.
Just the people that you're comfortable enough to share that with.
Did you have a rider in high school?
I wish.
Yo, if I come to your party, it better be like, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need X amount of guys there to look at. Like, it's, I wish I did.
That's what you could put on your rider?
I feel like once you're at a certain level, you can put whatever you want on your rider. You can say, I want a white horse to ride into the venue like Bianca Jagger everywhere I go.
Wow.
I would do that.
Let's talk about clubbing stories from like the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, did you go out in high school?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I went to a couple clubs, but I didn't really drink like that until I was, oddly enough, 17. I wasn't into like, because I went to performing arts school, so I knew dancers that were, you know, doped up on coke and PCP and all types of shit. And that to me was not hot. I don't want to be foaming at the mouth. Like, I'm good.
That wasn't your fetish.
No,
that
wasn't
fetish.
My fetish. No.
Okay, so you... Go ahead.
No.
So you do have this new project.
Yes.
You are working it independently.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change? How is it moving from a machine to doing like everything with your plan now?
It's incredibly liberating and frustrating all at the same time. But at the same token, and this is no shade to anyone, I mean, I probably could have done more myself than the label did for me at the time.
Just if different
I had
views,
really, yeah, you know. Just if I had really, if I really had a project that I believed in 150%, then I feel like I could have really promoted it a lot better.
Yeah. Also, some of that has to be you lived life to get to this point, yeah. Right? So you have those experiences now that you've become the person yes. you are to say these new things.
Yeah, but if, you know, this is the first project I'm putting out that I feel 150% proud of. And I did it myself. I wrote it myself. I worked with people that I really trusted and saw the vision for. And I mean, that's why it kind of came together. And that was kind of the point. The whole reason I even started doing music was because I wanted to be able to execute a vision. And so now I'm able to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
By the way, it's very hard to say no shade to anybody while you're sipping tea.
Is that really hard?
Yeah.
It is, huh? Well, thank God nobody saw me sip tea after I said no shade.
See, but now you're sipping tea as I'm saying this.
Yeah, I had to.
One more Roc Nation question.
Sure.
17 more Roc Nation questions.
Since you left, they changed their logo and they have these hats which are so in demand. Do you have a Roc Nation hat?
Absolutely not.
Do you want one?
No, I think I'll pass.
Do you want? We can stop by and go get you one if you. Yeah.
You know what? I think we'll just stay with the cookies and the tea. I think we're winning right now with the cookies and the tea. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to be rude and leave it on the table. I just wouldn't want to do that.
You know, we worked a lot of red carpets.
Yeah.
Do you have any good red carpet stories?
Have any good red carpet stories? I hosted a red carpet.
Okay.
I've actually hosted a couple red carpets for BET and they were really fun. But then I'm really articulate. So when I speak to someone and I ask a question, they're like, okay, you have like 30 seconds to ask these three questions. And I'm like shooting them out. Both yeah, points, yeah. Go. And I've had a couple people just kind of like deer in headlights and not even know how to answer the question. And I've just been like, you know what? It's fine. You look great. Nice dress. Like that's what I've had to do. And it's you know, and I roll my eyes. I'm like, why are you here? Just don't even, your publicist should just be like, don't talk to anybody. Just smile big, wave a little, turn to the side, give them a little profile, and get off the carpet.
By the way, that's like our thing. Like, we ask questions that have no answers.
They have no answers?
Yeah, basically. I mean,
you want to stump people?
Oh,
every time?
Like, well, no, it's not, but it's not in like a obnoxious way. It's okay. Just like more of a fun because by the time.
Yeah, we just wanted to make people laugh. And so, like, there are no, like, actual.
I mean, no, there are answers, but we have, like, better answers, is the point. Like,
well, sometimes.
We asked.
So you want people to feel dumb.
No. Yeah. Like, for instance, we asked.
It's like the more we talk about it, the more terrible it sounds.
We asked. Yeah, I mean, there is an answer. Yeah. We have the answer. It's better than whatever the hell they're going to say.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. We asked Rick Ross. We were like, well, we saw him actually on the BET red carpet. We were like, what's your. And we had interviewed him before, and we're like, yo, Ross. What's your favorite bird? And he thinks about it. He's like, the woodpecker. Shout out to the woodpecker. I'm like, oh, Jeff, what's your favorite bird?
A basketball wife.
And like, you know,
and so then you just see like him like crumple.
Yeah,
he or we asked died like laughing. We asked Estelle one time. We love Estelle.
Yeah,
like,
Estelle's one of my favorite people.
She's
too.
This really is, like, a great person.
This yes. is the worst question that we could have asked anybody, but it's like also the funniest thing as like a comedian. So we asked her, we were like, so like Estelle, what are you here to promote? And she starts talking about her album and we're like,
and her
we
new
cut
single,
her short,
and we're like,
oh. We cut her off and we're just like, we thought, you know, you might want to be here to promote world peace and,
yeah.
you know, and she's talking about children. And you just see her
talk
like,
about the starving children.
Yeah,
Africa,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's just like standing there just like, we're like I mean,
but I guess
I support all of those things.
We're like, I guess promoting your album's all right, too. Yeah. That's fine. You know, like whatever. Yeah.
Like rush her off camera.
I love that, though.
But you know, like okay, so you walked many a carpet,
yes.
right? How tired do you get when every outlet is asking you, like, what producers are you working with? When's your project coming out? The same questions over and over.
I honestly don't mind because they're it's all the same. It's
okay.
mundane, but it's like it's robotic, so I can
right.
just shoot them out.
It makes
you
your
know
job
what I mean?
Easy.
It makes my job really easy. Just right. all everybody asks the same shit. Who are you working with? Who are you excited to see tonight?
Yeah.
What are you wearing? And I know because I've asked those questions, so I get it. I know exactly where it's going to go, where it ends, what the last question. Last question is, you know what I mean? It's always, it's very predictable.
So then most important question, who are you wearing right now?
Right, exactly. Most important question, actually.
You're not a Roc Nation hat.
No, right, like, not
is,
a Roc Nation
me
hat.
Me asking.
Something
by the
that's pink and yeah. Alicia Keys.
we went to the Billboard Awards this year and
jealous.
Like as in like we sat
a little.
Like no, we weren't there to do interviews, we were just there to like to attend it. Which is not
do you do that a lot?
Attend
no, it was
it?
Our first time.
No, it was our first time. So
like
we had the same managers as like as John Legend and Miguel and Meghan Trainor, so there were a lot of people being celebrated.
Got
that,
it.
That we so they invited us down and we were just there.
Oh.
It's the most boring time.
Yeah.
And
It's like watching an award show in person.
I mean, you understand now why people are wasted by the time.
The most exciting thing was like
start drinking.
The most exciting thing was like getting up and sitting down when everyone had to like pass by us to go to the bathroom. Like that was I swear to God, that was it.
The most movement you did.
It was just like, all right, yeah. I guess, you know.
But yeah, we were sitting behind like Damon John from Shark Tank and FUBU fame. Have
you
sat by anybody? Oh, sorry.
I have, but do you feel jaded? I feel jaded sometimes. Well, like, there's a lot of people that I see all the time that I'm not. I'm just like, I'm not phased. It's Katy Perry. Great. She's got mint-colored hair now. So, like, awesome.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I feel bad that I don't get excited about any of that shit anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
normal
to
me. So we've been doing, you know, our stuff for 8 years now, and it is normal.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is 100% true. The only person I got sort of starstruck by, we did Sway in the Morning recently, and we were just in the lobby talking to our friend Matt Fastow, who works there, and I looked to my left, and this sports writer who writes for the Daily News is walking by, and I was like, oh my God, it's Frank Isola, and he writes about the Knicks, and I was just like, I can't believe it's really him. And then he walked by and went to the elevator, and I was like, ah. Meanwhile, like,
that's,
you know,
the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
It's crazy.
So awesome.
It's crazy.
But I mean, I feel like that's how people feel. I mean, listen, I saw James Cameron at a Coffee Bean, and I thought that was phenomenal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
did you
that's
say
something
hi?
I'm thinking, hell no. But I just thought it was great that I could, that I'm, it's James Cameron. Yeah. Nobody else is going to know that. Or David Foster. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, those are people I get excited about. I'm like, oh my God, this is so great.
You're such a LaGuardia girl.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis at LA Fitness. Like, who's not impressed by that?
I want to hear more about that.
Wait, do they... Does
Jimmy Kim and Terry Lewis?
No, I mean they weren't both there. I think it was. I don't know which
Jimmy,
one is which.
Does Jimmy wear the long coat to when he works out and the hat?
Yeah. No, he didn't have the hat.
What machine or weight?
He was walking out while I was walking in. So I don't even know if he really was working out or not.
Who was working the front desk?
I don't know. It was not me, thank God. And I did not, in fact, vandalize the class schedules, I promise.
It's not every time you walk into a gym, you're just like, fuck this place.
Right. I feel like I should do that every time. It'd be a really dope signature thing to do. Oh, Bridget Kelly's here. Take the stuff off the counter. Shit.
All right, so your project is coming out soon.
Yeah, like tomorrow.
Like tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's kind of big deal.
So, which is really today when people hear this.
Yes.
Your tour,
which
is going to run through the Northeast, is starting when?
Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
Where?
D.C.
Okay. Where in D.C.?
U Street Music Hall.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then you're going to
Philly.
Sunday,
which I'm really excited about.
Are you
going to Philly? I think I've only done, like, really performed once in Philly.
Are you going to do any Drake covers in Philly?
I thought about it, but then I didn't think about doing it in Philly, but I thought about doing a Drake cover or doing something that's kind of current, but I decided against it.
Well, okay,
but you sort of have to in Philly now.
But
put like the boot on the neck sort of thing.
This is your thing. Because you have people trying to beat you up, you want
to
get me beat
up.
This is so unfair.
You troll.
Right.
Wait. What Drake songs were you considering? Since you're not going to do it now, what songs were you considering?
10 Bands.
Okay.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Energy was kind of cool. I thought maybe Energy would be something I could kind of sing a little bit if I wanted to, but I hadn't tried. I just was thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
Or Trap Queen. I feel like Ed Sheeran has inspired everybody to just completely just water down all things remotely ratchet. And I'm here for it. I think it's fantastic.
I'm sort of surprised. Like, you remember Carmen?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how you felt about them, but we couldn't stand them, right?
Why?
Because it's so corny.
Wait. I want to hear your defense of Carmen.
Because you have to embrace the fact that they are corny. Of course they're corny. That's the point, is it not?
Yeah, but I don't have to like the corniness.
Yeah,
I look at it from
afar
and
they
say,
would get
no.
signed. Like, RCA throws like a ton of money their way, and it's just like,
I mean, didn't Epic throw a ton
of
money?
Epic.
I was gonna say I thought Epic did, but Epic did that with Bobby Shmurda, and Bobby Shmurda's in jail. They wouldn't even pay his bail.
Yeah, but they like to play both sides of the coin.
Oh well.
But we heard that the reason that Bobby's still in jail is because of the Sony hack.
Oh.
And they didn't think that, like, so like people were like looking at their finances, and they were like, oh,
now we're gonna throw $1 million for bail.
We throw $1 million out to get this kid out of jail.
That's lame.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand why you guys didn't like Carmen. I thought they were great.
Oh, can't stand it. Just the sound is like, let's just be honest.
I hate the shtick of it.
I
like
can't
it's like
everyone's
oh,
music.
Like you're from the 1940s and you're singing Chris Brown.
Yeah,
like that's what I'm supposed to get out of this.
I mean, listen,
Ed Sheeran's got a little bit of like credibility because he like does hang with all these, you know.
He's
guys.
A rap fan.
Yeah, he's
he
a rap fan.
On the
right.
Breakfast Club and was absolutely like rapped an entire Biggie song.
Right.
It's like this is I'll take any rap song that he does now. I'm here
right.
for it. it.
He's legitimate. Like, yeah. I didn't get that from Carmen, but that's all right. Like, yeah, that's just not for me.
We can still be friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there's a,
I mean,
like,
I haven't purchased any of their music. I don't mind them.
Good.
Like, it wouldn't be beef if you saw them, is the point.
Am I still going to get cookies? With us, it is. Can I still get these cookies next time? It's like...
All right, so you're gonna be touring soon.
Yes,
your project's out today. Anything else fun coming up?
SOBs, August 13th.
Be there
here in New York.
Here in New York, which means you'll have to be there. There's some surprise guests I'm bringing out, which is gonna be a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
The surprise guests.
No,
wait, when? August
13th? You're the honorary guest.
Oh, wow.
If you decide you want to bring your buckets from Home Depot and do a number or two, by all means, we'll figure it out.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna bring 4 to 5 people.
I feel like I need to limit you. What did we say? Travel light, travel far.
Yeah. True. Well, yeah, but SOBs isn't that far, so bring more people. This has been such a pleasure.
Yeah.
I know. This is great.
Yeah, let's do it again.
I'm so happy I didn't do my research.
Can we have a part two? Because we have a lot of history to go over.
We should totally have a part two.
We're so
great.
Serious.
Can I get the sea bass, though, for part two?
Yeah.
Can I put that request in early?
For sure.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Bridget Kelly.
And
this was a waste of time.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.